Now, Norma DeMart will lead us in our invocation and centering prayer.
Okay. And I can just see God shining in your faces. I think it's wonderful to have these many, many devoted, beautiful, loving people in our congregation. Okay, have you looked at our little thing in the bulletin here this morning? Why don't you follow with me as I read this, and then we'll have a little silent prayer after that, okay? The solution to the problem before us isn't more money or fewer difficult people in our lives, because the only real program is disconnection from God. Solutions come as we connect with a higher level of thinking and knowing, Albert Einstein said. The significant problems we face cannot be solved at the level of thinking that creates them. When we lift ourselves in connection with God, an entirely new realm of thought becomes available to us. We go back and acknowledge God's presence and power in the midst of troubling circumstance. Ideas and insight come that lead towards resurrection. Let's silently go within and center ourselves with God. This power, this force of love that is in every cell of our body and dwells in our mind, loving us, guiding us, and teaching us. And with a heart of gratitude, I say thank you, God. Thank you for this creation. Thank you for my part in it. And each of these dear people who have gathered together today to acknowledge you and to praise you and thank you. Thank you, dear God, for life. And for love. And so it is.
So it is.
Amen. Gosh, where was I sitting? Back here?
My topic for this morning is using all our strength. I was thinking about the concept of God, or spirit, or the universe, or our higher power, or whatever term works for you, and the recognition that this loving, nurturing presence is a power, not a personality. We get away from that old belief of God being some old guy with a white beard up on a cloud someplace that either says yes or no to us depending on if we've used up our credit limit this month or not, if he's in a good mood, if we were good yesterday, all of those may be possibly or not consequences of talking to God. We know that that's not the truth. We know that as a power, not a personality, it always responds to us as we believe. We know that that is the truth, and it's a law. And I was thinking about laws this morning, and many of you have heard the story back in the early 90s probably. We went whitewater rafting down the Shoshone River in Colorado. Now, the Shoshone runs between Vail and the Vail area, so way up in the Rocky Mountains, between Vail and then flows down into Grand Junction and ultimately into the Pacific Ocean, because that's what rivers do. We know they flow from, you remember your geography studies that it's the Continental Divide, and everybody on this side goes to the Pacific Ocean and everybody on that side goes to the Atlantic Ocean. It's been a really long time, so if there's something else they call it, forgive me. But as I recall, that's what the deal is. But the point is that the Shoshone River is fed from the melting snow on top of the Rocky Mountains. And there are, they call it white water rafting because there are areas of what they call white water where it is pretty brisk. And so to make a long story even longer, the people on the canoe or the raft that I was on, we collectively zigged when we should have zagged, and I went into the river, which woke me up because the river, once again, is fed from the melting snow off the Rockies. So it's a little brisk. I've worn glasses since I was in high school, so there is a fish in the Shoshone River in Colorado wearing my glasses, because I was not. But it was a great experience, but the point of the story is the Shoshone River and all the rivers in this side of North America flow to the ocean. That's what they do. That's what they always do. We could build a dam, but it wouldn't make any difference because the water somehow would continue to flow over the dam or make a new route, but that's the law. That's how it works. In the same way, the universe, God, spirit, our higher power, whatever term works for you, works in the same way always, every time, for everyone. And it's available to us, and we're using it. We're always using it. Sometimes we're using it consciously, and we're creating wonderful opportunities and wonderful new experiences in our lives. And sometimes we're not using it consciously, and we're creating stuff, or stuff is happening because we're living by default rather than by design. But the point is, we're always using it. So how do we tap into it and use the power and the strength that's available to us? So that's what we're talking about this morning. The whole point to this teaching is to align ourselves, to be aware of how it works, and be in alignment so that we work the way it works. In the Prosperity Plus workshop that we did a couple of months ago, and we will do again this summer, and I'll have more information to follow on that later on, Mary Morrissey gives the example of a man walking into the bank with a check. And he wants money for the check. So he hands it to the teller, and the teller says, okay, endorse it on the back. You've probably done this once or twice in your life. You know, that's how it works. And the man said, well, I don't want to sign it. And she said, well, I can't cash it for you. And he said, well, isn't there any other way? And she said, and ultimately said, sir, get out of my bank. If you're not going to endorse the check, I'm not going to cash it for you. And he went to another bank, and he found out it was the same way. The point being, this is how it works. This is the law. This is the rule. This is how it works. So when we come in alignment and are aware of how it works for us. We use that strength and that power. We're always creating something. I don't get a day off. You don't wake up in the morning and say, God, let me just take today off. I'm in a bad mood. Let me take today off and I'll get back to you tomorrow and we'll start creating again. In the same way, we don't say, gee, I'd like to visit space today. Gravity, could you not work for me? You don't do that. It's a law that always works the same way. So this creative process that we call God or Spirit always works the same way. In the book Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill said, any thought either feared or revered begins to clothe itself immediately in the most convenient substance possible and cannot help but manifest in our lives. Any thought either feared or revered. remember that power of emotion and of feelings. So fear, and is there anything worse? Is there anything worse than being afraid or apprehensive or troubled about money or our health or our property situation or just whatever it is in our lives? Is there anything worse than that? And the problem with fear is, you remember in the book of Job in the Old Testament, he says, the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me, not because it was punishment from God, but because fear is such a powerful feeling that it gave power to his beliefs and it became his experience. How often do we fear something? And whenever I talk about this, I always go back to that old, and this may not have been your experience, but in my family, the belief was that bad things come in threes. So the transmission in the car drops out on the driveway, the washing machine dies, and the freezer goes. Every time one happened, you start looking for the next two, and what a surprise! You get the other two. Not because it's the truth, not because it's God's punishment, but because you said it comes in threes, so it comes in threes. So we're always using this for something. There's the opportunity to choose how to use it. Spirit is just the most amazing experience, and as I was talking about, I was here yesterday for just about all day, and normally sat with dear friends, and normally what happens on Saturday morning is I'm home and put on some music and hang out with the dog and I work on my talk for Sunday morning. Well, I was up to my neck in blue masking tape and plastic sheeting yesterday during the day, and then we went out with some dear friends last night. And so there's that fear. Okay, Jerry, you got to do church on Sunday. What are you going to be talking about on Sunday? We went to see Flower Drum Song, which I had heard of but never really gave any thought to, but we had a friend that was in the play, and so we in the musical, and so we went. Spirit always tells us what we need to know when we need to know it. And if you're not familiar with Flower Drum Song, very quickly, this is by Rodgers and Hammerstein in the late 50s, and it was the first play with an all-Asian cast. So this was big stuff. And the music is wonderful, and it was just terrific, and the crux of it is this young woman leaves China and comes to America and winds up in San Francisco. And she meets a young man and falls in love and so on and so on. But one of the first lines of the play, and I'm searching, digging, trying to find a pen, one of the first lines in the play is, to create something new, we first must love what is old. To create something new, we must first love what is old. The law, the universe, spirit, our higher power works in this moment. Our point of power is in this moment. But when we bring yesterday with us, we don't allow the universe or spirit or our higher power to perform for us, to give us all the good there is, because we're stuck in yesterday. What do we do? What about loving what is old? The concept of that, to me, reminds me of relationships. And you hear about people, and maybe you've had the experience yourself, you finish a relationship, you're done with it, and walk out of it and right into something new. They call that rebound, I think. When we move from the old into the new with the residue of the old still on us and the hurt and the anger and the bitterness and all the rest of that, then we carry that into the new relationship. And how often do we look back and say, well, that experience, the people were different, the players were different, it looked different, smelled different, acted different, but it was the same experience because we hadn't changed our beliefs about the first one, and they drug them along. We drug them along with us into the new one. How do we do that? We love the old by releasing it, by allowing it to be, by seeing the blessing, whether it was obvious or not, and releasing it. That word relationship, when we think about that, most of the time we think about it as being with another person. But the truth is, we have a relationship with our money. We have a relationship with our bodies. We have a relationship with the world around us. So often the opportunity to look at our relationships with whatever it is and see either this really works for me and I love it and I'm having a great time, or there's something going on here that I need to release. But we have to love it before we move into the new. I have a dear friend that's in the process of selling a condo up in North County. And if you're looking for a condo in Encinitas, I'll put you in touch with the appropriate people. Ocean View, et cetera, et cetera. Lot of stuff, and I bet in the real estate market, and if you've recently been through a real estate transaction, it can be scary. There's that fear again. If we listen, if we read what it says in the paper and believe somebody else's truth, it's a difficult market out there. If we know that our experience is our experience, we're fine. But if that piece of property, and this is such a great example, if that piece of property was yours through a divorce, or you shouldn't have bought it and you overextended yourself and it's just an uncomfortable situation, or if there's any resentment attached to it, we must love the old before we move into the new. So what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about with my friend is, you've got to, no, I never say you've got to. What I say is, what you want to consider is, release all the judgment, release all the stuff. Go in, let's go in and, you know, sage the corners in each room. Do whatever you need to do to bless that. That property values went down. Well, property values went down. We didn't know they were going to, and for many people, they're overextended because property values went down and so forth. We must not carry guilt and resentment and regret and all the rest of that, because all it does is keep us attached by cosmic glue to that experience. We've got to scrape all that off and love that old so we can move into the new. That's so important for us. So how do we love the old? We do it by blessing it. And you've heard this quote from Jack and Cornelia Addington's book, How to Love and Be Loved, before, and you'll probably hear it again because it just so resonates for me, and I hope it does for you. We bless it. The word bless is an interesting experience, and we're, many of you know, we're sharing our space with two fundamentalist Christian organizations who are absolutely wonderful, but their traditional greeting is, God bless you. Well, the only time I say God bless you is when somebody sneezes. So it's really a process, not an event, but it's a process for me to reorient myself to the concept, but listen to what the word bless means. And this is a quote from Irvin Seal. To bless a thing is to fill it with life. Life is expansion, and the thing will expand and progress. To bless it is to enfold it warmly in your thought and feeling and consciously desire its fullest and most beautiful expression. To bless it is to send forth a power which is of God and therefore omnipotent. To bless is to take an inward stance in relation to something. It is to speak the word of good and then to stand silently while the currents of life flow through the patterns of your thought. To bless is to release the hidden life in everything. We won't have that wonderful new relationship until we bless the old one. It doesn't mean you're going to go have lunch with your ex-spouse, but it means to release, to love and release that old so that we can move into the new. We won't get that wonderful, ideal new job if we're carrying anger and resentment and bitterness and those dirty, rotten so-and-sos about the old one. We won't have that wonderful new experience until we can release the cosmic glue, scrape the gum off our shoe that keeps us stuck in thoughts of the old experience, and move forward. That's how it works. That's the power, that's the strength of the universe that says, as soon as you're ready, I will take this and run with it for you, and you don't need to figure out how to do it. But we have to do what we have to do so that we can work it the way it works. In the recovery community, I think in AA, they say it works if you work it. This loving, nurturing presence works for us if we work it when we're ready and we're clear about loving the old so we can be ready to receive the new. So, according to Mary Morrissey, there are five ways to practice life using the way it works. And there's a white piece of paper in your bulletin this morning with the picture of a hand. And I invite you to get that out and take notes if you would like. And this is pretty cool. I hope you'll enjoy this. I got a kick out of this. First one is by having a thumbs up attitude. You know, you've heard that expression before. Thumbs up means life is good. That everyone at the Course in Miracles says everyone and everything leans toward me to bless me. So I am thumbs up today. I'm thinking that life is good and the parking places are there. The last couple of days, I have had the most amazing parking place experiences. And yesterday, we needed some more paint. Saturday morning at Home Depot in the paint department, why don't you just light me on fire, you know? Rather than going to Home Depot, Home Depot and the paint department on Saturday? No, that is not the truth. I know that everyone and everything leans toward me to bless me. I went over there. There was a parking place second from the front of the row, in, out, 10 minutes. It was phenomenal. Thumbs up. Absolutely thumbs up. In the New Testament, I think it's Paul in Corinthians says, look for the good and praise it. What do we talk about? What do we talk about all day? If we're stuck in conversation about the down this and the rotten this and the price of gas and all the rest of that, that becomes our experience. We can be thumbs up instead. Second finger, point your way through the day. Mary Morrissey talks about living by design rather than by default. And default is when we allow the past to be our experience. We allow fear to be our experience rather than designing what it is we choose to experience and move forward with it. So rather than life happening to us, life happens through us, because the truth is it does, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. Now, the third finger, behave yourself with this. Flip fear in the face. Sometimes when we have a project, sometimes when we have a project, how is this going to happen? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And it's so important for us to recognize that we don't need to know. When we get that relationship with Spirit and recognize this is a loving, nurturing presence that always loves us, always responds to us, never judges us, is always in the present moment, runs on principle, not precedence, we're remembered that every moment is new and fresh and full of possibility of greater good than we could have imagined. And how the property is going to get sold, how we're going to get this room painted in time for church on Sunday, how whatever it is not ours to solve. We talked last week a little about this and the fact that God won't fight us for it. You know, we do our affirmative prayer, we release it, and then how often do we take it back and say, well, yeah, but, and we feel the need to help God with this? You know, let me give you a hand about how some of the ways that it might work out. The truth is that the universe has ways of bringing our good to us that we could not have imagined when we allow it to. When we use that strength, that power, that is the one mind that we call God or Spirit or the universe. So, thumbs up, point your way through the day, flip fear in the face, then finger number four, go forth from a place of harmony. This morning, everything worked. The sun rose, the ocean, you know, the water in the ocean was doing what it was doing. We live in an orderly universe. And when we allow ourselves to experience that in our lives, that means that everybody we need shows up at the time we need them. Several weeks ago, I was telling the story. I was with Edwene Gaines a couple of months ago, and she wrote The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, the wonderful book, and I really wanted to know her experience of writing the book. You know, how was it, and what did you do, and how much did it cost, and how'd you get published, and all the rest of that. And typical Edwene, the story is, she was at a Unity Church in New York City doing a workshop, and afterwards, a man came up to her that worked for one of the major publishing companies and said, you have absolutely got to write a book, and as soon as you write it, my company will publish it for you. I hadn't thought of that. We don't. Well, I could do this. Well, I could do this. You might have, if you've got a property for sale or if you've got stuff going on related to money, you may have the calculator in your brain and you keep going back over, well, if this happens, then the number's here. And if this happens, then the number's here. And so on and so on. And if you do that, I invite you to visualize taking the battery out of the calculator. Or going over to the wall and unplugging the adding machine, because when we stay stuck in the step-by-step of how it's going to happen, we're missing out on the joy of the moment and we're taking the power back from God. The universe says, let me take care of this for me, and we say, no, I got it. I wasn't ready to let it go. We need to let it go. And let the greater good than we could have imagined, the greater ease than we could have imagined, happen for us. If you've ever had a situation that looked like, okay, I'm going to hunker down, and it's going to be difficult, and there's going to be a battle, but I'm going to do it. And then it's done. If you ever had in a relationship or business or just whatever it was, but just looks like, oh boy, you know, we're going to go to battle. And it's just all taken care of, and you just sit back and say, wow. That can be our experience in every area of our lives when we allow Spirit to have it. Allow Spirit to take it and run with it and create whatever it is without worrying about the individual steps, just living from the end of it, the manifestation of that dream. We don't need to know the individual steps. And then finally, the little finger. Appreciate the little things. There's a book, and I meant to get a copy of this book because I'm so curious, and actually I think there are two, about gratitude for what we judge as the little things. But things like you've come home from a business trip or a vacation or whatever, you fall into your own bed. And I don't care how wonderful Westin or Marriott or whoever Hilton say their beds are. Nobody's bed is more comfortable than my bed. It's wonderful. It's home. It's you might remember that IKEA commercial from several years ago where they showed all the different pictures of different people's homes. And of course, home looks, houses, dwellings, abodes look different all over the world. But the point is, your heart is there. That's your place. Coming home is so wonderful. So those little things that are so fabulous that we just don't, the parking place. Linda. Thank you very much. Absolutely. There is no place. Yes. Just those little things, what we focus on expands. So as we focus on gratitude for those little things, but the constant reminders that life is for us, we see more of those. And there are more of those. If we focus on the economy is lousy, gas is $4 a gallon, everything's too crowded, there are too many people in San Diego, dot, dot, dot. You know, there's always the opportunity to be cranky, and there's always the opportunity to be grateful. What we focus on expands, we get more of one, or we get more of the other. It's totally our deal. So I have a great quote for you from my book for the month, No Less Than Greatness by Mary Morrissey. A boy and his father were out walking when they came across a large stone. The boy said to his father, "Do you think if I used all my strength, I can move this rock?" His father answered, "If you use all your strength, I'm sure you can do it." The boy began to push the rock. Exerting himself as much as he could, he pushed until sweat poured off his forehead, but the rock did not budge. Discouraged, the boy told his father, "You were wrong. I can't do it." The father placed his arm around the boy's shoulder and said, "No, son, I was not wrong. You didn't. You didn't use all of your strength. You didn't ask me for help." I don't know why I pick these things that make me cry, but it's all right. When we get that, whatever it is, the universe, Spirit says, "Yes, let me take that for you. Let me help you with that." When we just open the five fingers that we talked about, when we just open that hand and allow Spirit to take it and use our strength being that oneness with Spirit, then it's done for us greater than we could have imagined. Always, always, always. Life is supposed to work for us. The truth is it does. You know, sometimes you might be in a situation and you might have been in this teaching for 100 years and you look and say, well, this isn't really working because it's not, my life doesn't look like I want it to. It's always working. The change has to come from here. We're the ones directing traffic, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. So if there's an area of our lives that isn't working, we don't have to go to God to say, you know, would you fix this, please? We have to look at what is our belief about it and allow ourselves to change, to release the old beliefs, the old experiences, the old resentments, the old whatever, so that we can move into the new. When we do, our lives change. In every area, our lives change. So with that in mind, we can move forward and make a brand new start. So stand if you would, and we will sing our congregational song right here, right now. So let us know together that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.